don't make you a Christian. Do you know that? Just because you do good things and you're a good person don't make you a Christian. Do you know that? Just because you give your money to the church, you know, and read your daily bread or read your Bible don't make you a Christian. Do you know that? Just like going to McDonald's and sitting there 7 days a week, I don't make you a hamburger. You can go to McDonald's 7 days a week and sit there every day and ain't gonna make you a hamburger. But what will make you a Christian is that we'll have a relationship with Jesus, that we'll get real with him. Amen. And once again, I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are perfect. We all have issues. We all have struggles. But when we get real with God, God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If, that two-letter word, if. So what I'm talking about, once again, it's not about religion. We're not religious here. I want you to know that. We are not religious here. We are a relationship church. We have a relationship, not religion, not traditions of men. We have a relationship. And let me say something to you. Everything that we preach and teach here, if it don't line up with the word of God, do not accept it. Please don't. Everything that we preach and teach here is going to line up with the word of God. And you need to make sure that me and everybody else that's preaching and teaching is in line with the word of God. In the Bible, it says in Psalms 118:8, it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. And that's in me and anybody else. When you get to the word of God and you see what the word of God says, make sure that what we're preaching and teaching, it lines up with the word of God. If not, don't accept it. Don't accept it. And I mean that. Now, we can be wrong. A lot of times I'm wrong. A lot of times. And people point it out to me, Pastor. You know, but it's not I'm wrong because I'm doing something on purpose. You know, I'm still, you know, God is still working on me. Always will be. Always will be. But when you get into the word of God, it ain't wrong. It's always right. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. We got to get into the word ourselves. So many times, and you have so many things where they tell you, you know, you don't have to read the Bible. Just believe what I say. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. If it ain't following the word of God, I'm not going to believe you. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Amen. In my Father's house of many mansions, it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, listen to what he said. He says, in my Father's house of many mansions, where's the Father's house at? It's in heaven, right? Amen. Who said that? You get a cookie. Give her a cookie after church. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's in heaven. Out of the mouth of babes. You hear that? She's the one that said that before any of y'all. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Donfoot. Let that little girl. Anyway, I go to prepare a place for you, and it says, and I will come again. Listen to what it says. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, where is he? Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. There ye may be also. I go to prepare a place for you in heaven with my Father. When he died 3 days ago, the Good Friday on the cross, he was in the grave for 3 days. And on this day here, over 2,000 years ago, he went up to be with God in heaven. He said, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. How good is that church? How good is that church? You ain't got to worry about no pandemic. You ain't got to worry about no shots. You ain't got to worry about nobody being mad at each other and all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world. No pain, no sorrow. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how good is that? No hating, no nothing. Amen. How good is that, church? But do we think about that? Do we think about that? Okay, praise the Lord. Where I will be, you will be also. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Truly, he has risen. He said it right here. He said it right here. Where I am, you will be also. Amen. How good is that, church? We're in a win-win situation. We're in a win-win situation. If somebody was to come through that door right there and come down here and say, Pastor, I don't like you. I don't like what you've been saying. And shoot me. And shoot me. I'm going to be with Jesus. He's prepared a place for me. Amen. He's prepared a place for me. I got a place in heaven. So we're in a win-win situation. You can't threaten me with heaven, church. You can't threaten me with heaven. I just don't want it to hurt. Praise the Lord. This is what I want to do. I want to do like my Aunt Ann. She was 99 when God called her home. She was in one of them little things. She had her own little room, little kitchen and everything. But she was in one of them facility places. And they had a cafeteria. She took a little scooter. She rode up to the cafeteria about noon. And she ate one of her favorite meals. They had a favorite meal for her lunch. She ate her favorite meal. She took a little scooter, went back to her room, got into the bed to take a nap, because that's what she did. After she ate at noon, she'd take a nap. And when she woke up in the arms of Jesus. Amen. Huh? Amen. Can't get no better than that. Amen. Go get you something good to eat. One of your favorite meals, chicken, you know it. Go get me some extra crispy. Coleslaw, amen. Biscuits, cornbread. Oh, and go lay down, take your little nap, and then wake up and be with Jesus. Oh, you're a win-win situation, church. How can you not accept that? That's what I don't understand. You see, before I came to Christ, I wasn't in my right mind. I'd wake up every day, but I wasn't in my right mind. Because I didn't realize that. I didn't embrace that at all. I didn't care. But once God got a hold of me, once I surrendered my life to Jesus, he started pouring these things in me about how good he is, how faithful he is, how loving he is. You know, because I was looking for love all my life, but I was looking for it in the wrong places. I was looking for it here, there, and everywhere. I'd feel good for a little bit here, there, and everywhere. But when I came to Christ, the love of God in my life, it filled up everything in me. It satisfied me. I didn't have to look no more. I didn't have to go here, there, and other, trying to be satisfied. Oh, kids. This is not good English, so don't repeat this. But Pastor, I love me some Jesus. Amen. I love me some Jesus because he loved me. Once again, I was looking for that love. I was looking to get fulfilled. I was looking to get satisfied. And the things of the world would not do it. It would do it for a little bit. But now, I wake up in the morning, praise the Lord. Anytime y'all ask me, Pastor, how you doing? What did I say? All is well. All is well. Every morning I wake up. Pastor, how you doing? All is well. And you know why all is well? Because Jesus Christ is in me. Because I'm a child of God. Because I know that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Because I know that I know that I know that my God lives. I know that he is risen. And he's risen indeed. That's how I know. How can you not? We should be the happiest people in the world. If you're a child of God, you should be the happiest person in the world. I don't care what goes on. God is in control. If Brother Harold was here, he would say what? God's got this. You know, Brother Harold used to sit right back in the back there. And he would, yeah, he'd gone on to be with the Lord. But anytime anything was going on, he said, God got this, whatever it was. Oh, I don't feel too well. I'm sick. God got this. Oh, I lost my this, that. Oh, God got this. Oh, I'm about ready to lose my car, whatever. God got this. Whatever it is, God is in control. And if God is in control of all things and we believe that, hey, all is well. All is well. Amen? So why are we whining? Why are we whining? Why are we complaining? If God got it, do we truly believe that, church? Do we truly believe that, church? That God got this, that he's in control of all things. Let me tell you something. And you know what? It's about maturity. It's about growing in Christ. It's about, you know, once again, you know, I whine. I ain't gonna lie. Different times I'm whining, you know, my knee acting all crazy, my hip acting all crazy, my back acting all crazy. You know, some of y'all acting all crazy, and I'm thinking, why, Lord? Why, Lord? And the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder. He said, now, I brought you through all them other things in your life. I was always there with you. Don't you believe that what I said, that I would never leave you and never forsake you? Don't you believe that? Well, Lord, in the hardest time of my life, I was going through it. And I looked back and I only saw one set of footprints. Where were you, Lord? He said, oh, slow of heart. These are my footprints, young man. I was carrying you. If it wasn't for me carrying you, you wouldn't have made it. But I'm always going to carry you because I'll never leave you and never forsake you. Amen. If we get that in us, church, if we get that in us, church, we can live a life more abundantly. We can live that resurrection life. If we get that, if we believe that. Now, turn to the book of what if Christ has not risen? What if he hadn't risen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. First, what if he didn't rise? What if it had been a joke? What if it had just been one of the, oh God, here I go. You know all these conspiracy theories that's out there on the internet. What if it was a conspiracy theory that Jesus, and you know, there's people out there that will say, you know, well, Jesus, he really, you know, he didn't really die. He fainted. And when they put him in the tomb, you know, he came back. Do you know that there's a theory out there about that? And there's a couple more about that he really didn't die. He really didn't, wasn't really raised. There's a couple more things out there like that. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from hell. Don't listen to that mess. Do you know they got a thing that they found the bones of Jesus? Do you know they found the son of Jesus, that him and Mary Magdalene was married and had a son? On the History Channel. Leave it alone, church. Get into the Word of God and believe the Word of God and the Word of God only. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of death? But if there was no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if he didn't rise, what I'm preaching to you is of no use. You might as well just get him and go home. Because it means nothing. And then it says, our faith don't mean anything if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, it means that everything that we have been believing in all of these years is not real. But I'm going to tell you something, church. The reason that I know that I know that I know that it is real, because that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is in me. I'm not perfect by no means. But I know that I know that my spirit bears witness with his spirit that God has given me a new heart. He's given me a new nature. Because before, I would cuss you out in a minute. Before, how you know? To my show would. Anyway, you know, I was a man who didn't care about life. I didn't care about nothing else. You know what I mean? But I see how God is molding me and shaping me. As I say, I'm not perfect. I'm not, you know, I got issues, I got struggles, I got all that. But I'm not the man that I used to be. I just went home and did a funeral with one of my childhood friends here last week. Matter of fact, this time last week, right after the service, I caught a flight and went home to bury one of my friends last Monday. You know, and when I got there Monday at the funeral home, a lot of the guys that I grew up with was there at the funeral. And some of them said, we thought you were dead. We heard that you had died years ago, the way that you were living. And some said, we heard that you had become a pastor, but we didn't believe it. We're here to see if it's true or not. And a couple of them said, we still don't believe it. The way that I used to live. The way that I should live. But I told them, I said, that old person that you know is dead. That old person that we used to hang out and we used to do all the things that we used to do is no longer. I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't think I'm better than you or anything else, but I am a new person in Christ. My mind is being renewed. I got a new heart. I have a new way of thinking. I got a new way of talking. I got a new way of living. And I love it. I love it. Every day I wake up, I'm loving life more and more and more and more because of Christ in me. That's how I know that he is risen, because he is risen in me. And he's continued to rise in me every day, church. It's not something that I'm imagining. It's not something that somebody's telling me or I'm seeing on the YouTube or a video or something. It's something that's happening to me every day. That God is in me. And he's changing me. And he'll change you too. He'll change you too. If you give him a chance. That's all he's asking. Just give me an opportunity to show you that I'm real. Just give me an opportunity to show you that you can live a better life. Oh. He's just asking you to give him an opportunity. You know, I didn't believe in God for many years. And it came to a point, I said, God, if you're real, you got to show me. Because I ain't believing what that man is saying up there. I ain't believing what they're saying on the TV. I'm not even believing what it was saying in this book. I'm not believing none of that. You got to show me, Lord, if you're real or not. And November the 4th, 1994, huh? Whew. God showed me. Son, I am real and I love you. I have a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's not doing what you're doing. All I'm asking you to do is surrender your life and trust me. And on that day, to this very second, my life has never been the same. As I say, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. But I know that I know that I know that my Redeemer lives. Let me tell you something. How good is God? How good is God? Now, how many of you have said, you know, I've given God a chance, and he let me down. I prayed and prayed and prayed for this, that, and the other, and he let me down. Let me tell you something. God never let you down. Never. Some of the prayers that we pray, you know, there's always answered. Yes, wait, or no. Maybe he says no for a reason. Maybe he's telling you to wait upon it. I don't know. But let me tell you something. God will answer every prayer in his time. But so we want it when we want it, how we want it, and where we want it. Impatient. Those who wait upon the Lord. We have to wait upon the Lord in God's timing. Amen? Let me tell you something. God will never let you down. Ever. If we give him a chance. I'm almost done. Maybe. Maybe. All right. Now, let's turn to the book of Mark, Mark 16. And let's see what happened over 2,000 years ago on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday. This is the account. It gives it in all four Gospels. But I like this one here. I like this account of what the Lord says on this one here. Mark 16. When you get this, amen. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. The sepulcher is the tomb. So they went to the graveyard. And there's a tomb in the graveyard. Matter of fact, it's like a rock. But they had hollowed it out. And so it says, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, as they walk into the tomb, they had these spices. They was going to prepare him. Now, Jesus had told them over and over and over and over and over again that I will rise again on the third day. This is the third day. But yet, they're coming to prepare his body with spices. He had told them over and over and over and over again, I will rise again on the third day. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. But yet, they're coming to do something that they thought was right. Some of y'all missed that. Jesus had told them over and over and over again, I will rise again on the third day. But in their mind, do you know why they thought that Jesus was still in the grave? Because of what they saw on that Friday. They saw him beaten. They saw him hanging on the cross. They saw the disfigured body. They saw the blood coming out of him. They were traumatized. Their emotions took over him. And so what they focused on was the condition of Jesus, not at what he had said, not at what he had said. Oh, ye a little faith. Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. I know you said it, Lord, but when I saw all of this happening, all that went out the window. All that went out the window because I saw what happened. Let me tell you something, church. We have to believe what the Word of God says, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear. We have to believe what the Word of God says. Amen. The Word of God says, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The Word of God said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. The Word of God said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Ain't that what the Word said? Do we believe it? Do we believe it? That's the key to it. So anyway. So they come to the sepulcher or the tomb, and they said, well, you know, when we were there here a few days ago, they had this big old stone that was in front of the tomb that was keeping people out and to keep disciples from going in there and stealing Jesus' body and telling people he rose again. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? Who's going to roll away the stone for us? Remember that. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? And it says, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. They were asking, who's going to roll the stone away? You know, we're just women. The stone was big and heavy. We need somebody who's strong. Somebody who can open this up so we can get to Jesus, so we can prepare his body. Because we know that he's still in there, and he's dead. We saw him die. We know he's dead because we saw him die. We done forgot all about what he said, that he would rise again. We done forgot all about that because of what we have seen. Who's going to roll the stone away? And then it says, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at his right side, clothed in white garment, and they were afraid. And he said to them, be ye not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. The greatest words in the history of mankind, these next three words, he is risen. He is risen. There's no other words in the world that is greater than that. He is risen. And it says, listen to what he said. It says, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before into Galilee. There you shall see him. And he said unto you, as he said unto you. He had told them over and over and over and over again, I'm going to rise again on the third day. I'll meet you in Galilee. But what they saw, it stopped their belief. What they saw stopped their belief. He is risen. In one thing, in one of the accounts, it says, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? You thought Jesus was dead. And in fact, he was. Ain't no doubt about it, he was. But he says, I will rise again on that third day. Do we believe him, church? Or do we believe what we see on CNN, ABC, CBS, the Facebook thing? Yep, I'm coming to you on that Facebook thing. Do we believe all that? All these conspiracy theories, all of this crazy nonsense that we're being bombarded with over and over and over and over again, or do we believe in the Word of God and the Word of God only? I don't know about you, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to believe in the Word of God, period. Period. Let me ask you, has a stone been rolled away in your life? Has a stone been rolled away in your life where you could see the living Savior? That's why we, as a church, we have a cross, an empty cross. We have an empty cross because he's not on the cross anymore. I know some churches and some denominations, they got the cross with Jesus is on them. No, Jesus is not still on the cross. Who has rolled the stone away? Or has the stone been rolled away? I'm here to tell you today that the stone has been rolled away. And he is not in the tomb. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. And he wants to live in you. He wants to live in you. That's why he went through the whole thing of coming down here so he can live in you. He didn't come down here just to go through this stuff for no reason at all. He came down here because he loves you. He comes down here to set you free. He comes down here to give you eternal life in Jesus Christ. He comes down here to give you a life more abundantly. That's the reason he came, church. But do you want it? Do you want it? He's not going to force it on you. But what he will do, he will tap you on your heart and say, today, I want to roll that stone away so you can see that I live. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Do you know what assurance means? I got it. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Y'all know the song, right? Do y'all know the song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. One more time. Praising my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praising my Savior all day long. Amen. That's what he come to give us. That blessed assurance that you will not be afraid. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, that blessed assurance, you'll be free and free indeed to live your life. Oh, let me tell you, and it's not going to be a tiptoe through the gardens. Ain't going to be no living in paradise. Absolutely not. But when we yield our life to Jesus and say yes to him, don't get no better. Don't get no better, church. You've heard the word of the Lord here this morning. And I'm going to ask. I know the Holy Spirit is tapping on some of your heart. He says, I knock at the door. If you open the door, he says, I will come in to you. You see, the door, it has no door handle on the outside. It only has a handle on the inside. And as he's knocking, he said, all I want you to do is just open up the door. Open up the door and let me show you that I'm real. Let me prove to you that I am the risen Savior. Let me show you how much I love you. Because I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. He's coming again soon. And I want to take you where I am. I want to take you where I am. And where I am, you may be also. But all I need you to do is say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Yes, Lord, I surrender. I don't understand a lot of what that old tall man is saying. But it's something stirring in me. It's something stirring in me right now. To let me know something about what he's saying is stirring in me right now. And let me say something to you. I don't want to influence you. Because if I influence you, somebody else can uninfluence you. But if the Holy Spirit within you is stirring something in you, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. If that's stirring in you and you know in your spirit, in your heart, that something is happening in you, you say, I really don't understand it, Pastor. But I'm going to say yes today. I'm going to say yes today. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Take me, break me, make me to whatever you want me to be. Yes. So I know when I walk out of here, I know that when my time comes, I'm going to be with you. That before I walk out of here, I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That I made a reservation for heaven. I made a reservation for heaven. And it's not if, but when. Not if, but when we leave. That I'm going to be with heaven with you. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more hunger, no more thirst. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. So if that's you this morning, and you're here, usually what I used to do is I would have you stand and come down. But because of everything going on, God can meet you in your seat. God will meet you where you are. You understand that? He'll meet you where you are. So if that's you this morning, and you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Just pray a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer. And let me tell you, it's a gift. It's a gift that God wants us to have. But all we have to do is receive it. All we have to do is receive it. It seems so too easy, doesn't it? But see, he paid that sin debt. He paid that price on the cross. All we have to do is receive it. And I'm going to ask, if you're here this morning and you have any doubt about your salvation, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And he will hear the prayer. He will hear your prayer. Pray this prayer with me. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it silently. But just make sure it's real. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart. To be my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He rose again on that third day. He's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. From this day forward, I surrender my life to serving you. Come into me. Give me a new heart, a new life. I accept this free gift of salvation. By faith, in the mighty name of Jesus, and I will serve you from this day forward. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Let me say something to you. If you prayed that prayer, aloud or silently, and it was real, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's guaranteed. That's what the Bible says. That's not what pastors say. That's not what I say. That's not what this church says. That's what the Bible says. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, let me tell you something. When you leave out of here and something happens to you, it's guaranteed that we will be with Jesus. You can't get no better than that, church. You can't get no better than that. Praise the Lord. So once again, when we stand before Jesus and he says, well, what makes you think that you can get into heaven? You can say, I surrendered my life on that April the 4th of the year of my Lord, 2021, at that church on the square. I surrendered my life. I made a reservation for heaven. And so I'm ready to come in. I'm ready to hear these words, Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done. And let me say something to you. You say, well, I'll do it next week. You're not guaranteed next week. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Because he's going to say one or two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Or depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. And you don't want to hear that because there can be no making up after that. He's given us an opportunity today. So praise the Lord. And the Bible says if one was serious today, said they're rejoicing in heaven today. But you know what? I know it was more than one today. I know it was more than one today. Amen. So they're rejoicing. They're having a jubilee. Darren, would you? Brother, I can't take no credit for that. That was all God. And, you know, you're talking about this individual. We all know who it was. We know Chris. We know your son. Yeah. And we're going to believe that God is going to heal him completely. Yeah, he's been on the ventilator for the past 4 or 5 days. You know what I mean? And when I went in yesterday, and yes, it was a Christ in me. It wasn't me. I can't take credit for nothing. But as I laid hands on him and prayed for him, he was opening up his eyes. And then as I told him Jesus loved him, a tear started coming down his eyes. That's the power of God, not me. That's the power of God. Amen. And my prayer is that one day he's going to be sitting right there where y'all usually sit, because usually y'all right up in here. And be able to come and give that testimony about what God has done for him. As I say, I can't take no credit for none of that. That was all God. Amen? That was all God. So praise the Lord. Church, thank you. God bless you. Go have a great Resurrection Sunday. Love on each other. Be careful, though. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor and glory and praise. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for what the word that came forth here today. We thank you, Lord, for those who prayed that prayer of faith and their names was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We ask that you'll go before us, O Father God, and keep us safe. Just have your way with us, O Father. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you. Love you and thank you.